Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm one half of your presenting duo. I'm Stu Whiffin. Joining me always from his camp, from his like little kind of fort in his hotel room, Blake Harrison. Hello.
How are you, mate? You're right.
You've got a proper camp made out of sheets.
Mate, so the last time we did a recording in Belfast, I felt like it was really like echoey. So hopefully the quality of this will be way better, because I have got like three chairs next to my bed. I've got all my bedding like over the chair. Basically, I have made a fort, like what you would do with the kids and stuff. And I'm not going to lie, I feel fucking great. It feels fantastic.
I mean, you're wearing a suit of armour as well, which looks incredible in your fort, mate.
I know. I couldn't fit the shield and the sword in, but, you know, I've kept those outside just in case.
So are you still in Belfast filming then?
Yeah, yeah. I've also just, like, poured water around myself, so it feels like I've got a moat around me as well.
Good idea. Yeah. Good idea.
No, yeah, still filming, mate. The thing is, sometimes on these filming jobs, you can get quite bored when you're not working, and maybe you would make a fort and a moat. You know, things happen. What happens on the job stays on the job.
We'll definitely get a little screenshot of it and put it on a social so you can see Blake's camp. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. well, we're going to do a little sort of bespoke episode today that is probably a little bit different to a lot of the previous ones. We've not got guests today and we're not necessarily looking back over an event. We thought there's been so many incredible KOs in recent times, and I've ended up looking way further back as well for this episode. So we just thought, why don't me and Blake discuss our favourite five KOs? And we've already had a sort of chat briefly when we've just jumped on this call to go, have you got yours in order? Like, have you gone from five to one? And like, and I've loosely done that. Okay. You not so much, right?
Well, do you know what? I think I might try and do it on the fly while we're here, which I might regret, but I'll do it. But also, I haven't even really got a five, because I've got a sort of maybe three or four that I'm like, they have to be in. But I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 that are on my like shortlist.
Right, well, let's do it like this then, right? So I've got five, but I've also got some honourable mentions, which we won't do a deep dive on. So we'll get them out of the way at the end, all right?
Honourable mentions through the ones. End. Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. All right, let's do that. So should we start with what we're going to try and put at number five, which is where I'm really struggling. So you go first and I'm going to have to make a decision.
And we're doing that 5-1, one being the best one, right?
Yeah, go on then. I'm nervous.
The pressure's got to you already,
mate. It really has. The fort hasn't held up well at all. The enemy's at the gates.
All right, well, I'm going to start with my number five, and I'm going to go back to UFC 154, George St. Pierre versus Carlos Condit in 2012. And it was at the time when, and it's the fight is Johnny Hendricks versus Martin Kampmann. And I remember watching Big Rig back then and being so excited as to his kind of title contention. You know, he was racing up the ranks and he was looking terrifying. And it was that left hand. I think it might have been the fight before that, or maybe two before, the Campman fight, he starched John Fitch with that left hand, and it just got everybody talking about the power in Big Rig's left. And then that Campman, oh my God. I mean, it's on lots of the UFC highlight reels. You see it quite regularly because he basically, the thing, because I've got a multiple different sort of criteria for this fight as well. So I should just sort of touch on that as well. I've got ones that are just like literally one punch KO, oh my God. And I've also got ones where there's like real backstory and beef and you get the payoff.
Yeah.
And then I've got like, oh my God, no one predicted that. So I've got a multitude.
It's so hard, isn't it? Yeah, it's sort of like, I'm tossing and turning. Like literally, my number five. I think I've whittled it. I've still not picked it yet, but I'm like, do I go for? Oh my God! Wow! What did I just witness? Like you can't see that in any other sport.
Yeah.
Or do I go with something that shook up the world type thing? You know, those moments where you're like, yes, it was a great knockout, but it was the implications of the knockout and what was happening beforehand, as you said, that's so integral on the biggest stage and the biggest fights, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, but that's where I'm at the moment.
But that Campman KO, he just catches him with this absolutely incredible left hand and he's almost in like a seated position, Campman, in midair, and he just shoots across the canvas, like up against the fence. It's like, he literally like looks like he's been knocked across the octagon, and it was just a beautiful shot. I remember being a huge fan of Johnny Hendricks, his career took he was one of them fighters that when he had a loss, they just kept coming, and it was like a rapid sort of downfall, but the journey up, he was a very exciting fighter to watch, and to see him use that left hand and no more so than on this Martin Campman KO, which is at number five for me.
Good one. All right.
Look, right, people say that I'm on the fence. Get off the fucking fence. Come on, say one.
Yeah, all right. I'm going for this one. Because also, I tell you what sort of swayed me is also I want a bit of diversity and representation in terms of gender. I'm choosing the one that was more impactful in terms of its implications to what happened with MMA in general, and not going for the one that was just a delight for the eyes.
I know what you're going to say.
So my number five is going to be Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey.
That's my number one.
Is it? Oh, it nearly didn't even make my top five. Oh, that's interesting. So, all right. So leading up to that fight, Ronda Rousey had taken out like four opponents inside a combined like 2.5 minutes or something like that. It was absolutely mental what she did to like Betch Kohea, Kat Zingano, and I can't remember who else was on that list. Again,
everyone.
Everyone was on the list. But it was so impressive what she did. It was so impressive. Now, coming into the home fight, everyone was talking about, like, Ronda's just going to walk through her, this, that, and the other, blah, blah. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, hang on, Holmes, like, got all these amazing boxing and kickboxing credentials. Yes, if Ronda gets hold of her, it's going to be a potential problem. But Ronda seemed to go in with a dodgy game plan. So I don't know if the Betch Kohea fight was the one prior to the Holly Holm fight. Again, I haven't done my research into this. But she won with the strikes, and I felt like maybe she was falling in love with her hands and believing in her hands too much, when what she really should have done is stuck with the judo, you know, Olympian in judo, bronze medalist. She should have stuck with that, especially against an elite-level striker like Holly Holm, the likes of
which... You don't box Holly Holm.
You don't box Holly Holm. Well, I mean, I suppose there's a couple of people that maybe could now. I mean, friggin' Amanda Nunes. I mean, Jesus Christ, what she did to Holly Holm. She Holly Holm.
And Ronda Rousey.
But that's the other thing about this fight. What Holm did to Rousey, Rousey never recovered from.
Yeah, 100%.
That was it. After that moment, Rousey was never the same again.
Taking nothing away from Nunes, though. Like, Nunes lit her up different level as well.
Yeah, but the myth had been dispelled. She was not this. I mean, before that, also she transcended the sport. She was on the Ellen Show and stuff like that. She was such a big deal, Ronda Rousey, at the time.
The commentator says, doesn't he, as she's starting to kind of look a little tired towards the end of the first round, because she wouldn't touch gloves, which I just thought, come on. Because Holly's, you know, seemed very much the sports person. And and in the stare downs and that, Ronda was like on the media side, Ronda was being really, really mean. And it was like, well, this is not cool. And then quite quickly, it just felt that Holly just established her range and Ronda just couldn't get in, and she was just making so many mistakes and getting caught every time she came in. And I think it's then that it's not Rogan. I can't think who was the other commentator then. Literally says it's not easy being a rock star, and Ronda was a legit superstar then, wasn't she? She was the face of women's MMA, and she, you know, whatever you loved
her. Not just women's MMA. She was the face of MMA along with Conor McGregor and maybe like Anderson Silva before that. But she was the face. It wasn't just about female sports. It was the sport. That's the most amazing thing about what she did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was that point where in the first round when Holly took her down and it was like, Holly's took her down. That's not what's meant to happen. And I think even when Ronda got her in the clinch, like, she was just out of it and was just movement. And I just thought Ronda looked so gassed and was like, hands were low, mouth was open. And then that kick. I mean, she caught with a shot, didn't she? And she looked like she was going down, not in major trouble. But as she went to sort of reset herself, that kick, that left kick was just on the money.
Other than the head kick, the bit about that fight that I remember most vividly is when like Ronda comes in with like a big hook,
Holm
ducks underneath it, and Ronda sort of like stumbles forward into the fence onto her knees. She was swinging so wild and uncontrolled, and you were like, it looked like a professional fighter versus an amateur fighter in that moment. It was so amazing, the gulf in the striking capabilities, when you were talking about Ronda Rousey, who was this unbelievable, unstoppable champion at the time. So that is my number five, and I'll tell you later what it just edged out. But you've just given away what your number one is. Should we move on to four?
Okay.
Shall I do four first, and then you do?
It's probably going to be my number two. Yep, go for it.
Okay, what do I pick? I am going to go for... Oh, screw it. I'm going to go for Masvidal on Askren.
No, I've not got that in mind. It's one of my honorable mentions.
So, Masvidal on Askren. Firstly, it's the fastest KO in UFC history. Secondly, Ben Askren was undefeated at the time. I know he'd spent most of his time in Bellator and won championship, but he was a champion in both those organisations, comes over to the UFC, fights Robbie Lawler in a bit of an iffy fight. There was controversy over the stoppage. He looked like he was in big trouble with Robbie early on. So he didn't come into this fight looking... the sheen on his undefeated record had been taken off just ever so slightly, but he was still undefeated. He was fighting a guy that at the time, I think you would say, okay, Masvidal came off the Till win, but other than the Till win, Masvidal had been out for a while. He wasn't anyway this kind of unstoppable killer. He'd lost a lot of fights by decision. And I think people were thinking, oh, Askren's just going to maul Masvidal. Like, Masvidal's got no chance. And it was so many aspects of that short clip. The way he's standing, leaning against the fence with his hands behind his back, just looking at him going, I know something you don't know.
Yeah.
And it was just magic. And then the training video comes out later where he'd been rehearsing that and practicing it over and over and over again. It was the only way he won that fight, in my opinion. Like, looking back on it, if you do Askren Masvidal 10 times and you tell Askren, just sidestep at the start, don't go for a takedown at the start, just let him run at you, and then I think Askren wins 8-9 times out of 10. I think Asgreen would have just taken him down and mauled him. To land that knee in the way that he did, it was so shocking and so fast. And it was just, it was, I think John Anik screams, "That's one of the best knockouts you'll ever see." And you're just like, yeah, it is. So it's in my top five. I think that's got to go in there.
And all the beef beforehand was like, there was so much on the media stuff for that. And obviously, like, he just couldn't just walk away after that knockout either.
No, still he had to land a few extra strikes.
And it was the fact that as well, didn't, am I right in remembering that he put his, sort of both his hands to the side of his head as if he'd gone to sleep and was literally just still giving it to Asgreen as he was unconscious on the floor?
Oh, I remember him tapping on the ground saying, "That's what you get," or something like that.
That was it. That
something
was it.
Like that.
Yeah.
And was that when he coined the whole, like, baptized or something like that? Was that, did that come out of that as well? That was just, I mean, it was what made him a star. The Till knockout was unexpected, I think.
Incredible, though.
But great, very, knockout. Very good. And that Asgreen knockout made him the star that he is. Masvidal Asgreen number four for me.
Okay, right. So this is my number four. I'm going Vegas. I'm going December 2015, UFC 194, UFC Featherweight Championship. I'm going Conor Aldo.
Yeah.
Did it make your five?
It's made my five, yeah. Okay. So I've got it ranked higher than you.
Yeah. Again, shock value, much like the Ronda Holm. Like, we all knew that Conor was on this absolute tear. But I think deep down a lot of us thought, yeah, you ain't fought Aldo yet. And then I think the media around that was possibly the biggest media we've seen for anything previously in UFC. It was ridiculous. You know, the grabbing of the belt and like the world tour, really, of the media show, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was,
they've like, never really done that.
And I think when you watch that fight and you see Conor coming out, I mean, he's a very self-confident young man. But he looked like there was no way he was losing that night. And that moment when they're in the octagon about to go, and I think the commentators mention it as well, that they say Aldo looks like the pressure's got to him. And he just didn't have... I mean, not many people have got the confidence of Conor McGregor, but he looked uncomfortable, I thought, Aldo. And we're obviously huge fans of Jose on this podcast, and he's legit, and he's on a proper tear at the moment, far more of a tear than Conor McGregor's gone on to do. And I just couldn't believe it. Like, 13 seconds, and I don't even think Aldo overcommitted or anything, because he connected with his shot as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Conor's straight left was just so sweet, and it was like, that was the one when I think I woke the family up, because I was watching it downstairs and was just like one of them holy shit, like, just could not believe what I was seeing. It was like, he's just knocked out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. That doesn't happen. And just, you know, run around the octagon, got up on the cage, and it was like, mate, you know, why should we ever doubt Conor again?
Yeah, it was just so special, wasn't it? I mean, as you say, the lead up to that fight, and it was when Conor was at his absolute best at promoting himself.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
He was incredibly funny, coming out with brilliant one-liners, but also really vicious in it as well. Like, that was it, Iván Morrer, he was saying to him, Iván Morrer, which is like, was that mean like, you're dead or I'm going to kill you or something in Portuguese? Yeah. And then he was talking on the map, like saying he spoke in his native tongue and all this stuff. And it's just all this stuff that just captured the imagination of, like, fight fans everywhere. And he kind of had something for everyone. He had his moments where he was doing stuff like that, where the kind of really hardcore fans that love the idea of these two kind of like alpha athletes coming together and someone saying that kind of stuff, you can enjoy that.
Yeah.
But equally, if you just loved his funnier moments, like there's that moment when they're, I don't know where they are, but they're doing part of their press tour and Aldo sat in front of him.
Yeah.
And Conor just puts his hands and massages his shoulders a little bit. And he's like, ooh, like that. And just like, God, he doesn't give a shit, does he? He's not scared of him. And I think Aldo's opponents prior to that, I don't want to say scared of him, but gave him so much respect because of what he'd done. He was like the WEC champion. He was the only UFC featherweight champion up until that point, I think. And he was unstoppable. He was unbelievable. And what Conor did to him was just so unexpected. And even in Conor's run, people were saying, but he's been given favourable matchups. He had the Dennis Siver match. Or he's not really fought a wrestler yet. No one knew really what Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway would become. And yeah. So those losses back then weren't, those wins, sorry, back then weren't given the credibility that they do today.
Sure.
So everyone was talking about, oh, he's not really beat this person, he's not beat that person. He only fought Chad Mendes because Aldo dropped out, and he fought a Chad Mendes that took that fight on like 10 days' notice or less or whatever it was. So there was a lot of question marks still about Conor, and is he really that good? So to do that to Aldo, just I think, was just shocking. And it's the shock value of it that is why I've actually ranked it higher than what you've had.
Okay. Well, I don't think Aldo had ever been, had any kind of major press, commitments previously for fights. I'm sure he would have had to have done the standard UFC press that everybody else had done. And this must have just also been an exhausting tour, just doing that. And you've constantly got this maniac, like, terrorising you. And, like, I think he got into his head. And I just think, we don't know if he was ever going to see the you know, classic Jose in that fight because it didn't get beyond 13 seconds. But, yeah, it again, to echo a bit of what you just said as well, it was just huge and shocking and just a massive upset. And, it just fanned the flames of the Conor McGregor madness. And, yeah, so that's my number four. So your number three now, please.
No, you do your three. I feel like we should take it in turns.
Okay. Right.
Oh, have you not picked it? You sitting on the fence? Fencey with
him. I've done Aldo, and I've done Home, and I've done Hendricks.
Home. Home's your number one, isn't it?
Yeah, so I've got two left that we haven't spoke about.
Oh, go on. All right. Do you want me to do my three then?
Go for it.
All right. Because I'm still a little bit torn about what's going to be my number one now. Oh, screw it. All right. So my number three... I'm worried about this. I'm chopping and changing my mind all the time. Right. Okay, yeah. My number three is going to be Yair Rodriguez, Korean Zombie.
Good shout.
Yeah, good shout. Have you got that on yours?
No, it's in honourable mentions.
Oh, mate. So, Yair Rodriguez fighting Korean Zombie. Firstly, he's losing that fight. Five rounds of that fight. He's losing. He's going to lose. And on like 4 minutes and 59 seconds of round number five, in a fight that Yair is losing, Zombie just, I mean, I don't know how many nights he lies awake wishing he'd just stepped back a bit and like circled the cage or something, but he went for him. He drove forward. And Yair Rodriguez threw a strike I've never, ever seen before or since, really. He ducks down and lifts his elbow at vertically and clips Korean Zombie's chin on the way in. And Korean Zombie just completely folds and he's sparked out. I just don't know where that came from. It was just so unique. I've just never seen it. And it's those kinds of knockouts that get me so excited when you're just watching something and you've never seen that before. And you just go, the creativity, how someone has thought, what I'm going to do is drop down and throw my elbow vertically, like, behind me and expect this person to run onto it. It's just madness.
It is, and I imagine that most people that listen to this podcast are probably well up to speed on all of these KOs, but if for some reason you've never seen that, I know Blake's been doing his best to explain it, but I don't think you can explain it well enough, anybody, without seeing it, because it's so unorthodox and you've never seen anything like it before or since in the UFC, that you just need to go and look at this move, because I don't know if that's trained anywhere. I don't know if he'd ever trained that, or that was just off the cuff, like, oh, hang on, oh, I'm down here, I'm just going to throw this from here and see what happens. And
but it wasn't like he was down. He didn't get taken down or put down or fall down. He went down to throw that elbow. Like, you can't do that in sparring.
Yeah.
Like, what, where's that come from?
I know.
It was amazing. It was the creativity, the imagination was just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great shout, mate. That's a great shout. Right, so my number three, I'm going to go for, back in 2012, UFC 142, Edson Barboza versus Terry Ittem.
That was my... Remember when I was saying I don't know whether to go five? It was home Rousey or Barboza Ettim.
I mean, Liverpool's finest Ettim, like, had a bad night in the office that night. It's one of them ones that is never going to disappear. It's going to be, like, highlight reel forever. Spinning wheel kick, like, absolute hungry prime Barboza just sending shockwaves through the MMA community with that. And the fact that it looks so slick and so smooth and it just graceful as well. It was just a perfect spinning wheel kick. And you just see Terry Ittim just go down and he's rigid. And he's almost like his head's not on the canvas. He's like, he's almost sort of like in a sort of like a crunch position. He's just rigid. And now when you think, oh my God. And that, I think, stamped Barboza on the map as like, whoa, this guy, whenever he comes to fight, you're going to get exciting. You're going to see exciting stuff. And we've seen it since. We've seen him throw some amazing combinations and his legs are always an absolute threat. But yeah, this was the one. And yeah, I love it.
There's a lot to be said with these knockouts and stuff for like, how the person looks when they get knocked out. And that moment where Ettim goes back and he's like stiff as a board as he falls back. It's like, I mean, obviously you're just hoping, God, I hope he's okay. I hope there's no long-term damage, all those kinds of things. But it does, when your opponent goes down in a specific way that looks unusual or different or like they've really just shut off, it does make the knockout look visually more
terrifying. He's got that wow factor, hasn't it? It's
it's got that wow factor, yeah, that it's just visually more stunning.
Yeah.
When an opponent goes down in a certain way, when they fold or go down stiff or anything like that. And it had that. And I say that the way he... And what's amazing about that moment is Joe Rogan's commentary is timed to perfection. Because I think he's talking about, like, Etim, you know, not wanting to engage too much because he's scared of getting knocked out. Because the wheel kick happens as he says the word knocked out. Yeah. And... yeah, so there's so many little factors in that. I was really unsure whether to go with Barboza, Etim, or Home Rousey, and I leant towards Home Rousey, but I'm glad you've got him in your top five because that was a special one.
Absolutely, absolutely. What you got next, mate?
Well, my number two is Conor Aldo.
Oh, okay.
That's my number two. So we've spoken about that at length, but again, just it's not... It's not that the hook was anything amazingly special in terms of just the technique. If that was on the prelims, people would go, oh, that was a good knockout, but not really think about it. It was the weight of everything behind it and
absolutely
what that meant to the future of the UFC as a whole because of what Conor achieved transcending the sport in the manner that he did. That's my number two. What's your number two?
It's my number one. I've done four now. So
run me through yours again. So you've got.
So I started with. What did I start with? Johnny Hendricks versus Martin Kampmann. Then I had. I'd Rousey home at number one. I'd done Conor Aldo at three. And at four, I had. At three. And I've had done Barbosa versus Terry Etim as well. So the only one left of my five, which I had at number two, UFC 100.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
2009, Hendo versus Bisping.
How dare you? How fucking dare you, you horrible, horrible man. How dare you? I'm not even finding that funny.
I know we've had Mike on the show and it was amazing.
It was amazing.
I know. But he actually put a thing up the other day on his socials, and it showed that knockout, and it showed the knee from Silva, and then it obviously then shows Mike getting getting his hands on Rockhold and winning the title. But I just want to talk about the fact that this one I put for more. It was brutal.
It's not even in my honourable mentions.
Like, I've done something
so
wrong.
Sick. You have. I'm sickened by you right now. I'm so disappointed in you.
Right, well, I'm not going to lie, right?
Mike, if you're listening, like, I'm going to ditch you. He's gone. He's fucking gone.
If I was laying down, right, unconscious in front of you now, would you fly through the air and stick a forearm on the top of my head?
100%. And then I'd use it as my logo as well.
Well, the reason I chose this was, it's not my number one, it's my number two, but it was just because of, I think, pre-Connor, you know, the way that you would really whip up people into a frenzy was with the Ultimate Fighter. And that season... Hendo's very much a kind of calm, seems like a really nice dude. And Bisping wasn't that guy. Bisping was antagonising him and doing what Bisping done, getting into their head and just winding them up, like winding their Hendo's fighters up and stuff like that. And I'm sure Michael Bisping will be agreeing with me that he'd done everything he could in them situations to get into Hendo's head and antagonise him and do what he could do. And so it just felt that Hendo seemed to just think, right, I'm going to save with this and I'm going to do a number on you. My God, he did. 3 minutes 20, round two. He just throws that right hand over the top and Bisping goes down. Not as rigid as Terry Etting, but goes down hard and he's clearly out. And I can't remember if it's Herb or not. No ref can get there in time before Hendo does some kind of flying Superman kind of body splash something, but just slams his kind of forearm like right into an unconscious Bisping's head, which was so fucking brutal, and it was unnecessary, that second shot. Like, that fight was over and was going to be stopped, but I think Hendo said something like post fight, like, you know, that he needed that one. Like, that was like, I think he's like, you've wound me up so much that one was to, yeah, shut you up. I think that's exactly what he said. That one was to shut him up. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's lots of people that are friends with Michael Bisping that would choose that as one of the most remarkable, like, mental knockouts ever, because it was so brutal and it was after such beef as well. And it was almost like the quiet guy getting his own back on the guy that had been poking him for the last, you know, however many months that tough run. So, yeah, that's my number two. You're not talking to me anymore, are you?
No, I kind of hate that knockout, if I'm honest. I do. Because we were talking about that thing of going, like, stiff as a board when you go down and stuff like that. He went down, as you say, not like Etting, but sort of like that. But then what you see when he lands that forearm body splash strike that you described so well was...
I don't know. What would you, how would you describe that?
Genuinely thought it was quite a good description. It does look like a WWF move, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But when that impacts, you see Michael go, like, extra rigid and almost kind of like his chin kind of goes up and it's kind of like he lets out... So, I don't know, some kind of exhale of air, some, like, impactful exhale of air, is it? And it just, it's one of those ones where I go, oh, no, I don't, that sometimes I go, that's a bit too far. I mean, maybe I'm slightly biased because, you know, I'm a big British MMA fan and I want to see all the Brits do well, and Michael's the only champ we've had, and, you know, it just looks so nasty what happened to him there. But, yeah, I'm not a fan. That's not even on my honourable mention. So I want to swiftly move on from that horrific, horrific pick you just had there. I'll go to my number one, because I've actually done this in order. I'll go to my number one. And I've gone for just some real-life ninja shit, as John Gooden would say. It's not got any huge gravitas over the fight or even the fighters involved. It is just, I don't know, just a feast of delights on the eyes. It is Joaquin Buckley versus Impa Kasanganai, and that moment where Kasanganai caught his kick and then from one standing leg, Joaquin Buckley just spun, kicked Kasanganai in the face, and again, he was shut down, stood up, and then just fell. I've never seen anything like that in my life. That is something you only see in action movies.
Yeah.
You don't see that shit in real life. And it was phenomenal.
That's such a good shout, man.
It was just outrageous. You just don't see that. Yeah. That was like a... That genuinely, like, all the hooks, the high kicks, the spinning wheel kicks. Like, there's other spinning wheel kicks. I think, like, Vitor Belfort had one, maybe. I can't remember.
Uriah Hall.
Well, that was more of a... less than a wheel kick and more of, like, a spinning back kick type thing. It was more like where the foot plants on the face rather than spinning and wheeling around and hitting with the heel. Unless we're talking about two different knockouts. I'm talking about Uriah Hall in The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, I thought that he was a heel strike.
I think it was more of a spinning back kick one.
Right.
To the face. But even so, like, that was still a cracking knockout. I didn't really include that because it was in the Ultimate Fighter House as well, yeah. But that was a great knockout. But this one, you may never, ever see again. We see spinning elbows. We see wheel kicks. We see high kicks. I don't even know what that would... Is there a name for that?
Ninja shit.
Ninja shit. Damn right, that's the name for it, Stu. You've just pulled yourself back from that horrible pick. Ninja shit kick. That was fucking great. That's my number one. It was just... I remember watching, it went viral, and I just remember watching it and showing everyone that I saw, yeah. Like, for the next couple of weeks, have you seen this?
Yeah.
And it was just incredible.
Lovely. Well, look, let's do some honourable shouts. We haven't got to break them down, but I've got a few that almost made it, and so we'll tag team it. I'll throw one in, you throw one in. I'm going to start... I'm going to go with Molly versus Carolina.
Me too. I had that.
All right. There we go.
I think that was the first ever, or maybe even only ever, spinning elbow knockout by a female mixed martial artist.
Absolutely.
In the UFC.
Yeah.
So that's up there.
Yep. What else you got?
Anson Silva, Vitor Belfort. That front kick to the face. I mean, that nearly made it for me. I was just, that was special.
Who's the Vitor knockout where...
Is it on Luke Rockhold?
Where he just goes left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.
Oh, that's on Vanderlei Silva.
On Vanderlei, yeah.
That's on Vanderlei
Silva. Right across
Silva.
The octagon. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah, like, that was
but
great.
I think the rock hold, that was...
Was that a spinning wheel kick?
It was, wasn't it? But that was the new and improved and jacked Vitor, wasn't it? He would just come back a terrifying monster then.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw one in. I'm going to go Rose versus Zhang. That head kick.
Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. I'm going to go a little bit... I'm going to go outside the UFC, the only outside the UFC one we have, I think. Raymond Daniels, and I don't even know who it was against, but it's that one where he spins around thinking he's going to do some ninja shit kick, and then all of a sudden he just lands and sparks him with a right hand, and you're like,
absolutely.
What was that? That is special.
I was chatting to one of my doormen on Friday, Reese, and he's a huge fan. I was going like, "What would yours be?" And like, and he went for the Yair Rodriguez zombie, yeah. And then he mentioned that, and I was like, "Yes," because you think it's going to be the kick, and he was like, and then it's just boom, and it's like,
and it's so cool the way he just walks away as well.
Yeah, what's the deal? Is there more UFC action from him? Because he made his he fought, didn't he, a little while ago?
UFC, in Bellator.
Ah, it was Bellator, wasn't
Bellator.
It?
Raymond Daniels Bellator, but he's just signed with Karate Combat.
I just see that. They've announced a fight for him, haven't they, in Karate Combat, like
he's
the last couple of days.
Karate Combat now. Yeah.
Mm. I'm going to throw in Usman Masvidal.
Yeah, that doesn't do it for me.
No?
No, everyone goes
I thought it was
about
one of the
that.
Best right crosses I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't think Masvidal have been knocked out before, so there's that. I don't know, it's just a right hand. I don't know, it just didn't... Like, it didn't have the furore and the excitement of, like, Conor Aldo. I don't feel like it's had any huge implications to anything going forward. Yes, it was a good right hand. I don't know, it just doesn't excite me that much.
High profile win for Usman.
Yeah, but he'd already beaten Masvidal once.
Not with a highlight reel like that.
No, not with a highlight reel. But I suppose what it was as well is that I've never been a huge believer that Masvidal could be a champion. And so when Conor did what he did to Aldo, you're like, what the fuck has just happened?
Yeah.
Like, this guy that people were thinking was overrated has just taken out a guy that's been the champion for like 9 years or whatever. Yeah. Like, that was special.
Yeah.
Usman was already on his way to being pound for pound great, and Masvidal earned his title shot sort of through a little loophole here and there, and the second fight I don't think ever really should have happened. So I think I've also just got that thing of like, nothing against Usman and not taking away from the quality of Usman's shot, but more, did Masvidal deserve to be there? Probably not. So.
It wasn't ninja shit. I understand why you're not really into it.
Yeah, it's not ninja shit. It's not ninja shit.
You got any more?
Yeah. Lyoto Machida, Randy Couture.
Again, like the front kick, much like Vitor's. Like,
yeah, but different, more like, because he had that skip with it where he kind of faked the right leg and hit him with the left leg or vice versa.
Yeah.
I love that kick. That was great.
I would have watched. Lyoto was my absolute favourite fighter at that point.
Yeah.
What awesome. Incredible. Incredible legs on that man.
Yeah.
Good kick as well.
All right. Have you got any more?
No.
I've got one more, mate.
What you got?
Because he's one of our best friends now that he came on the show and is like such a wonderful, lovely man. Corey Sandhagen, Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was, I mean, I know no one likes to see bad things happen to Frankie Edgar because he's a legend.
Mm.
But again, the way he timed that knee and again just walked off and the way Edgar just fell flat. You're like, wow, that was special again. He timed that beautifully. And that was not as ninja as Kasanga and I, but that's a bit ninja shit.
Absolutely. And like, what a... Again, like, it was a great name to get on your record to have done that as well to somebody like Frankie Edgar, which I guess you say it's like it's going to break people's hearts because everybody loves Frankie, but... I think just the style that he done that in was like, it overruled, like, oh, that's Frankie Edgar. It was like, oh, my God, did you see that? That knee just come from nowhere and just, highlight reel knockout. And we love Corey on this show. Are we done?
I think we're done. That's our knockout. So just to run through, I had Home Rousey at 5, Masvidal Askren at 4, Rodriguez Korean Zombie at 3, Conor Aldo at 2, and Joaquin Buckley, Imba Kasanganai, is my number one. And
I had Hendrix Kampmann at number 5. I had Barboza Terrietim at number 4. I had Conor Aldo at number 3. I had Henderson Bisping at number 2. And I had Rousey Holm at number 1.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, if anyone's listening and you think we've got that wrong, send us your top 5 or something on the socials. Maybe we'll put out a little thing of like what our top 5s are. I don't know, like, I don't want to give it away though. I want people to listen and hear it, but like maybe after a few days we'll put it out or something, and then people, you can send us your top 5s or any that we've missed, because again, absolutely, we have been incredibly UFC heavy on that. Maybe there's something somewhere else where you think we should go, but I think doing these things in the UFC does matter. It does seem to be the highest level. So, but maybe there's some great one championship Cage Warriors or PFL or whatever knockouts that absolutely you think are.
I did
are up
consider
there.
MVP, but I thought, you know what? He shattered his forehead, so I'm not going to put that in.
I know. I mean, the celebration though, the Pokemon celebration. Yeah, I mean, I MVP. I mean, even that one on the, was it Anderson, the Danish guy, where he just like squashed his nose with that amazing, like, lead leg kick.
Let MVP, us know.
Yeah.
Right, we will be back next time. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. As Blake said, send us some messages and comment on the artwork to this with your top 5s. Let's get that conversation going in that thread. And we'll see you next time.